It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. And, we're just talking about this. If you look at the forecast here, I know we're not officially in summertime because you got to wait for the calendar and the summer equinox. It's summertime.
It don't matter. The weather says it's summertime.
It is summertime. I have been talking a little bit about that. I've been banging in T-post and pulling wire and planting and doing all kind of stuff, and it's summertime.
When you get triple-digit index, it's summertime.
Right. So we're just going to move on like it's summertime. Also, speaking of which, a reminder, I guess it'll be the next, it'll be the weekend of Father's Day. Tickets go on sale from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the 93rd. So, reminder on that. Good Father's Day present. You want to go ahead and get tickets for Dad, or Dad, if we can treat ourselves to tickets for the rodeo.
Yep. And they postponed the Florabama tournament, and that will be next weekend, too.
Wow. Okay. So, you get your tickets for one and fish the other.
That's right.
Florabama. Yeah. So I've not fished it before. Florabama is 2 day, is it?
It's 2 day. It's a Friday-Saturday tournament.
Okay. And it's, is it all the kind of categories? I know y'all fish kings in it.
It's everything. I mean, it's kind of like the rodeo, Alabama DC Fishing Rodeo. I mean, they got about everything.
Do they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really a good tournament.
I know y'all fished it over the years. Your plan for that? I mean, after our last conversation about king fishing, have you heard anything better news?
No, the king mackerel fishing is off the chart bad. So I don't know what's going to happen on that, but I have not heard of anything. But, most people don't go out just king mackerel fishing. Most people fishing tournaments go fish for
right.
king mackerel.
Right.
So years ago, back, me and you were growing up, people would go out to Farewell Buoy, throw a duster and a cigar man out and catch all the king mackerel you want to catch, mm-hmm. Just around Farewell Buoy or the ships out there. But now, most people don't fish for king mackerel. They go on snapper fishing or mm-hmm. beeliner or whatever, grouper fishing, whatever. So I just haven't heard any other reports since we had that little king mackerel tournament, which was terrible.
Yeah, you said it was, I know the group of y'all, some of the best king mackerel fishermen out there. What brought it? Three, four?
There was three king mackerel brought in that I know of. It was a 17-pounder, 16-pounder, and a 15-pounder. just don't get any worse than that. So,
but you did say that in the fall the fishing's been like it was.
Usually in October, middle of October, and first of November, the king mackerel show up and it's excellent. Now, why? I can't tell you.
Where they are right now, well, I don't know.
I don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, if you
where
do
they're
know,
at right
if,
now.
If you do know, you could leave us a message.
Call me.
Yeah, call Mike Warner. Leave us a message on our FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page. No, don't do that because then they'll see the info. Call Mike and I directly and let us know.
Things have changed so much on the king mackerel fishing, Sean. It's just unbelievable, especially in the last 5-6 years, but it's been going on for a long time. Used to, we went to South Pass and fished around the rigs mm-hmm. down at South Pass, mm-hmm. mouth of Mississippi River. Wouldn't have to go anywhere else because you catch all the king mackerel you wanted to catch down there. And then we found out that West Delta was really good. So we started fishing West Delta and just wear the king mackerel out in West Delta. Now, if you go to either one of those spots, 99% of the time you will not catch anything. So, West Delta is just dead.
That's crazy.
And they say it's because of
you think of that the bloom, the red tide bloom
over
there?
The red tide bloom or whatever,
Well, this is a real thing. So they went somewhere else.
I guess they went somewhere else.
Because the thing about, you get those red tides and all that, it can affect critters that can't move fast. But, kings and stuff, they've showed when those areas, hypoxic areas hit, they can move.
That's right.
They can get to some more oxygen.
Yeah. They go places, and maybe it's deeper water. Maybe we need to be fishing in 300 foot of water. I don't know. Maybe that's where they're at now. But they're not where they normally are. I can tell you that for sure.
When another thing, everything's driven, whether we're talking about speckled trout or anything else, it's driven by bait. Yeah. Right. What was it like when y'all, did y'all see a lot of bait out there when you fished?
Yes, tons of bait.
Okay.
We went to the west and fished a rig to the west the other day, and there was just acres and acres of hardtails. And,
okay, so the bait's there.
Yeah, yeah. No problem with bait.
And the same way was it last year or the year before when we were having trouble catching bait?
Yeah, it's been kind of bad for the last several years trying to catch bait around the island. But we did catch bait. We didn't have any problem catching bait the other day. But this has been going on for a long time. There hasn't been, as far as I know, a king mackerel caught at South Pass at all the rigs we used to fish in probably 15, maybe 20 years. And we used to kill them.
One?
I almost go there every year and check it out. Because I usually leave, when I fish the rodeo, I'll leave Dolphin Island, and I'll usually fish, you know, some places on the way over down, to where I'm going in Fushan or Cocodrie or wherever I'm going. And I usually, every year, I say, I got to stop here and just see. It was so good for so many years. And I stop, and I'll fish it. I'll give it 30 minutes or an hour, fishing two or three rigs, whatever. Nothing. And it's been that way for years and years. West Delta is exactly the same way.
Was it last year or the year before? Like, you ended up, you or maybe it wasn't you, but people I talked to that had gone down to Louisiana to kingfish, when it started coming back here to the east, they were coming back towards us.
Yes, because there was some fish off and off now.
Right.
Not many,
but, it was
but they
funny
were
that
catching.
Left, you know, left South
they were catching one or two or three or four kings. Where over in Louisiana, where we were zero. I mean, we fished like 3 days and zero in Louisiana. So it's just it's crazy. I don't know what's going on with the king mackerel. Used to, we would be catching so many 20 and 25 and 30 pounders. You just have to leave them because you're trying to catch a 50 or whatever pounder, you know, to win a tournament.
Well, we talked about this so much growing up fishing out of the island that we would take the we'd catch and then we didn't have want to kill any more, so we take the hooks off our different baits just to hook the fish.
Yeah,
we're not using live bait, using artificials.
Yeah,
so we could hook them, watch them blow up on it, but not have to unhook them.
It's the funnest fish that I catch out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah,
I love to catch king mackerel.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go out and just go king mackerel fishing, but fishing these tournaments, I love fishing them. I mean, when that reel, when they hit it and that reel takes off, or they sky on the bait, or they hit the bait and jump out of water 15, 20 foot. I mean, it's just, it is a blast.
I hope we get it, get it where they're back, you know. Accessible. Yeah, I remember, I mean, it was always something. You might not go catch the biggest kings, but we could go right out front and catch kings.
But, you know, you're talking about bait again. Now, go to South Pass, tons of bait there. Tons of bait. Mm. Go to West Delta, tons of bait. So there's bait there. There's just no kings there.
Yeah, we'll keep, you know what, we'll kind of keep a tally on this in this summer and kind of see when y'all start catching some kings. Let us know, Michael. Let us know. Kind of see. Maybe if something happens later in the year. I don't know.
I hope something changes. I don't know what, but we'll get Mark Kendi on here and see if he can explain it. He's about as knowledgeable about that as I know.
Okay, so we'll do that hopefully on a show coming up soon. Those of us back on land, a couple things. Get these questions every year, so let's do it here. If you're planting now, chufas, you can get away with planting chufas in August sometimes if the weather's right. 4th of July, a lot of people say for chufas, I would say you should be planting them this month.
Yeah.
If you're getting your chufas in, this month is, you know, I've got most of my chufas in already. Also dove fields. Now, if you're doing stuff like sunflowers and all that to take 90 to 120 days, you have to, you know, have gotten this in. Millet fields, you know, somebody was asking me the other day, how fast could you make a dove field? Well, brown top millet, if you got the rain and everything works, is a 40-day crop.
Yeah. It's quick.
You could also go through, and if your stuff's still green going into dove season, you can go spray it. If you have seeds, spray it and let it get killed. Then you can mow it or burn it, those kind of things. So there's ways to do it. But, yeah, I would say this is a month for dove fields. You know, brown top, you can make a real fast field. But if you're doing a mix and other kind of millets and all that, I'd get this done before Independence Day. And we've had, you know, we had that rain coming out of May. Hadn't been a ton in June, but now we're supposed to get some this coming week, so... If you're thinking about dove fields, you know, a lot of people end up thinking about them about 2 weeks before dove season, It's you need to be doing that now.
Yeah.
And I'm driving experiment this year. I am fencing in, and this has been a labor of Hercules to do by yourself, but I'm fencing in, deer proofing about an acre and a half of sunflowers in a field.
To have three more doves.
Well, I think this is...
I'd give you 11.
Yeah. We're going to experiment here, because the folks that are still shooting, what Mike knows is I'm in an area of Mobile County that there's used to be good dove hunting.
It should be excellent where you're at.
Right. And I have the gravel roads and the fields and the, power lines and all those things. But it's just really been poor. But the people around me that shoot them are all shooting over sunflowers.
Yeah.
I've been forever millet fields, and do millet fields and then start turning those over and top sowing wheat, but it's not been working like that. So sunflowers have been the game. But yeah, if you have more than just a couple deer on your property, you're not going to make sunflowers unless you fence them out. So
yeah,
doing a electric fence and a two. This is something too. And if y'all ever want to do this, if you're trying to keep them out of corn, keep them out of sunflowers or whatever, you can
soybeans.
Soybeans, yeah. That's always the tough thing with beans and all that. You want them to eat the beans. You just want to make sure the beans get up enough that they can keep making. That's the tough thing. I'm trying to keep the deer completely out of sunflowers.
Right.
But with the beans and stuff, you want
them to eventually. Different thing. I mean, you want them. That's the reason you plant them, so they eat them.
Yes.
So they grow the horns to give them the high protein.
Yeah.
So and then you fence them out of it, so the beans will grow. You kind of defeat the purpose.
Right. So, we could be talking about on a show in the future, these two-part fences, electric fence, or three-dimensional. They have one row, and then 3 feet out have another row of fence. And it's hopefully going to work. I'll give you all some updates through the summer on that.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we'll take it from the saltwater to the freshwater. Our buddy is going to join us, Captain Wayne from Delta Fishing, 354 days a year out of 365?
Maybe even more.
Wayne Miller joins us coming up next. To FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. And it's always good to talk to our buddy Captain Wayne Miller, who is taking the afternoons to catch fish these days. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. Actually, I'd let everybody know before we got started, we're in an in-depth discussion of shrimp, because Mike bought some really big shrimp. They were dragging them from the ship channel.
Yeah.
It got us all thinking, shrimp, big shrimp up that far.
Are they going up to the Delta? Are they coming out of the Delta? I don't know.
Or are they just hanging out?
Or are they just hanging out in the ship channel? But I did buy, Wayne, some really 10, 15 count big old fine shrimp the other day.
Man, that's incredible.
Yep.
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I'd be amazed if they're up, up in the north end, this early. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And, I hadn't seen or talked to anybody that's, seen any of that down there, but obviously they're there.
Well, Mike, they're in the ship channel. I don't know about anywhere
actually
else.
Actually, they're not. They're in Mike's freezer now, but
yeah,
that's where they're residing. And talk about this too. The other thing we talked about during the news break was water temperature. And you were pointing this out to us. So Mike and I started off the show, said, well, it is summertime here, because I can tell you, because I've been beating T-post into the ground in a field and all that. It's been hot. It's not officially, I guess, summertime yet by the calendars, but it's hot. But you said the water temperature is not really reflective of that heat.
No, it's not really. I mean, it's it's definitely hot. Now, yesterday morning, I fish in the morning yesterday until around lunchtime. And then, man, it really is hot out there. But, the first couple of places I fished yesterday, the water temperature was around 81 degrees. So, we're just not seeing, we don't see, even in the main rivers, the water's relatively cool. I mean, that's not hot water at all.
Give me a comparison. Give me a temperature you would say, okay, we've really hit hot water in the Delta.
Man, when you hit 90 plus, I mean, and it's not unusual for us to get up 92, 93, 94 degree water temperature. Now, man, you stick another 10, 12 degrees on the water temperature, and when you stick your hand in it, you're like, yuck. You know what I mean? It's very noticeable, and, you know, obviously it has a tremendous effect on, you know, how the fish react. So, you
and
know,
that's because
right
of oxygen,
now, I mean,
right? I mean, that's the cooler, cooler water holds more oxygen.
Yeah, and I mean, they, you know, we're because of the kind of the situation we've been in the last month, we're just now starting to see a lot of guys really transition out into and start fishing some, you know, like summertime patterns on the main rivers for bass. But man, the lakes and all are still, and the creeks are still really full of fish. And I mean, even on off times, you know, which I would consider to be like nip tide and, you know, when you have an incoming tide, I mean, times when you don't really expect the fish to be that active, you know, they've still been biting pretty good. And I attribute to a lot of that to that water temperature. I mean, the fish just stay more active, it seems like, when you have that water temperature down.
I want to get right back to what we're doing right, you know, what's going on now. But you talked to us through the spring. You thought we probably pulled off a pretty good spawn for the bass?
Oh, yeah, man, really. I think a really phenomenal spawn this year on the Delta. So, you know, we just didn't have that tremendous water fluctuation. And, you know, I mean, it's a two-edged sword. There are years where, you know, it may not be that detrimental, but we've seen years where it wipes out, you know, a lot of the spawn. So it, you know, but this year has really been a good year. I think we'll see dividends from it, obviously, you know, down the road.
Yeah, but I wonder how many years before, like, you see a year class, you know, till those fish are catchable. Is it 3 years or?
No, I think you're looking at about 2 years, okay. Definitely, you know. And, you know, these, you know, the old description that we've always heard one of the biologists use, you know, to describe the bass here on the Delta, you know, they grow fast and die young.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty harsh environment, but, you know, it's a tremendous fishery from the standpoint of numbers. And, you know, the fish really, you know, I mean, they can definitely, you know, within a matter of a couple of years, get up to be, you know, good, you know, catchable, you know, what typically is described as tournament grade fish. You know, I mean, kind of everything we do is kind of geared around, you know, developing, you know, fish that are in the 12 plus inch range, because that's kind of the standard for, you know, tournament size fish.
So 2028, so, you have to wade through the fish in 2028.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So what is all that record rainfall that we had in May, what has that done to the fishing? Because that was a very unusual May.
Yeah. You know, it didn't really, you know, from what I saw, you know, it didn't have a tremendous impact. You know, one of the, you know, I guess biggest challenges when you're trying to look at and comprehend, understand fishing on this Delta is how that high water actually affects, you know, the fishing. And a lot of times our high water is associated with rain and everything from up north. And, you know, that's typically what initiates,
floods us out, yeah.
You know, the high flood conditions that stay with us for so long. But when we have these heavy local rains, man, it'll blow these creeks up and they just look absolutely horrible. But I think the effect on the fishery is very minimal, because when you look at how fast they drop back in the banks, and the water cleans up, it really doesn't have a tremendous effect on them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just mainly the upstate water that comes down. Yeah. So is the river fishable right now? The river clear enough to fish?
Oh, yeah, man. I've been catching a lot of fish in the main rivers. I mean, and that's, for me, this time of year, that's what I really enjoy. I mean, it's not that I don't like fishing in the creeks and some of the lakes, but I just love transitioning to the river, man. It's just, I've always been a river fisherman. I kind of cut my teeth doing that. I love getting out on those main rivers. So, but it's been really good. I've been, fishing on both the east and west side. And, of course, the Mobile can be a little bit tricky because it obviously stays a little more stained and, it's got the barge traffic, the tugs and even like yachts. I mean, you have a lot of traffic on there. So, they're timed when, you have pretty significant, traffic down on the south end, that'll keep the banks, rolled up. And, you just have to, when you catch a day like that, you just need to get away from it.
Right.
Yachts. You know what? Give me a tug at a barge.
All day.
Barge versus that Chris Craft, 53 Chris Craft some kind of half planed out that throws Hawaii 5-0, man. Start surfing. Those things.
Yeah. And what happens there is, it's pretty amazing how fast the fish will recuperate. I mean, within, even when I'm fishing, on the Mobile River and I see because typically, those yachts, they're not solo creatures. They, a lot of times, there'll be a couple of them, but even if it is just one, they roll those banks up and especially if you're on flats with grass, man, it just blows them up and muddies them up. But, especially during times of tidal movement, it is amazing. Within 30 minutes to an hour, that water will clean up, right there adjacent to the grass, and you can pull right back in there and go to catching fish again. But the key to that is, if you have, one of those big boats come by and all that, you're really better off just crank up and go somewhere, do something different.
Find another grass flat. You talk about those grass flats too. How far into a grass flat or how close to the deeper water do you want to be?
There are times during high tide that I'll move way back, way up on flats and stuff because those fish will migrate back in there. But man, those fish got a lot more sense than what most of the people that are chasing them have. and they can tell when that water starts dropping and they'll start pulling out. So if I've got a high tide, a condition where, the water is really puffed up, I'll go to the very back. I mean, I'll get
You'll
up
go
in
to
some
the bank.
Really skinny,
okay.
skinny water. And it's amazing. A lot of times, I mean, you'll think, man, that's not enough water for a fish to even swim in. And man, you there'll be some grass and, especially a spot where you've got grass and a piece of wood like a log or something, blown in there, hung up on it. A lot of times you'll pull back in there and catch two or three fish, quality fish off something like that. But now, after the tide starts moving out, dropping out within 30 minutes to an hour, you go back and hit that again and there's nothing on it. Well, it just tells me those fish, they sense that water movement and they start pulling out.
When we come back from the break, I want to talk about that and like this afternoon going for a fallen tide and how you approach that. We're coming back with more with Captain Wayne Miller right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our buddy Captain Wade Miller, and talking bass fishing in the Delta. I will ask you this, too, because you talked about going on those grass flats. Tide's puffed up. You can go the whole way back. But then they're moving back. So let's talk about a fallen tide, which you obviously like a bunch, and how you fish that. Maybe a place you went on a high tide and you knew there were fish in there. Are you going to come back on a low tide? And if you do, where are you going?
Yeah, you know, those areas, man, are really good. And you know, as those fish move out, a lot of times, you know, they'll pull out. You know, you're at a tremendous disadvantage at times when you're fishing grass with a high tide, just because of the fact that it gives the fish so much surface area to move back in, migrate in, and move around and feed, do whatever they want to do. But it's just hard to get a bait to them. Well, as that water falls, eventually they have to keep moving out. And when they get, you know, what I love to target is anytime you got a situation where you've got grass, especially vertical, like reeds and, you know, a mix of grass. And that's what we've got in most places on the Delta. But where you've got at least a couple of feet of water, because 2 feet of water is, I mean, that's deep water in a lot of places down on the south end of the Delta. But, you know, as long as those fish have something that they can, you know, get around with that tight water depth, they'll pull out to the very edge of those grass mats and that tight grass, and they'll just stack up right there.
Yeah, I mean, that seems easier. Go fishing when you can, but if I had a choice, yeah, I'd love to fish them in the grass mats and all that, but if they're all going to pull back, like you're saying, I'd like to show up then when they're all
in
what area.
Yeah, I mean, that's one reason, you know, I'm going in the afternoon today is because, you know, that'll be the conditions that I have. And there's some specific areas I know that, you know, once those fish pile up like that, I mean, I can take a little, 30 to 50 yard stretch of grass. And, you know, I may catch, you know, now that's not power fishing, because a lot of times those fish are actually up in that grass. So, you know, you can't throw a crankbait out in front of it or a spinnerbait, anything like that. You have to actually get up there and fish it with plastic or with a jig, something that you can get in there and work in that grass. But, you know, I may, in one little short stretch like that, I may, you know, be able to catch 20, 30 fish.
Mm.
And so, you know, all you have to have is a couple of those spots and hit them at the right time with the tide movement. And you had a pretty good afternoon, bud.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, and that's different than fishing like Chocolata or Grand Bay or whatever, where you want a high tide to be able to get out and fish over that. But so you're fishing a river mainly where you like to have a falling tide to a low tide to fish it. Yes.
How long? And you know, the thing about those type areas, you know, you just keep running, man. I tell people a lot of times, you know, that the biggest trap you can fall into is thinking, you know, that one specific spot, you know, well, I ran to that and they didn't hit there. Well, you know, there's a multitude of reasons that, you know, those fish may not be pulled out right there yet. The water may not be low enough. You know, there may not be enough current there to pull them and set them up on the edge of that cover to feed. And a lot of times what you can do is just go to another area. It may have a little bit different conditions. So, you know, that's why you can't get hung up on just going to one specific spot. You know, I try multiple different areas, but I'll make that milk run, you know, and not get hung up. Just, you know, it's not like going into a big creek and, you know, dropping the trolling motor. Well, we're just going to stay in here for the next 3 hours. You know, that isn't the tight fishing I'm doing right now. I'm really moving quite a bit. But now when I get to an area and, man, what I love more than anything else is when you run up to one of those stretches, you drop the trolling motor, you ease up there, and the first or second pitch you make in there with that plastic, dunk, and get hit. And then all of a sudden you get another bite, you know they're there.
Hey, Wayne, how long does it take? Like, I mean, everything is, there's no concrete on this, but for them to reset, right? You go through, you're going down a section there, and you're catching some fish out there. Obviously, when you catch one, you're disturbing others. Would you go run, and when you run that stretch, would you go run to another spot, then come back, or would you just loop back and start your you know, approach down that bank again?
Well, you know, a lot of times I'll turn right around and hit it again. Okay. And the reason for that is because I fish it extremely slow. So by the time, you know, I get, you know, on a 50-100 yard stretch, by the time I get to the end of it, you know, I've if they're fish there, I've really fished slow, and you know, I can just, you know, ease back down.
So
and
the beginning,
I always try to fish, you know, against the tide. So, you know, I go to the lower end and you know, work against the tide. It just makes it so much easier to control the boat.
Yep.
And also, you're presenting the bait in a much more natural way, because the fish are set up to take advantage of that tide movement bringing bait to them.
Yeah. So with the speed you're doing this, the slowness, by the time you get finished at the end of whatever that stretch is, usually they kind of reset themselves back on the other end. They're not, you know, they've calmed back down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. And you know, a lot of times on the main rivers, I mean, this week I've done it several times. You know, it's not just grass. I mean, they do the same thing on wood structure, too. I mean, they'll get set up, especially when that tide starts moving. And, I love, you know, fishing, you know, over on the Mobile side. You know, a lot of times these slick logs, you know, that are, and there's just, you know, literally millions of them on the banks of the Mobile River. But when you have a high tide, a lot of times, you know, it'll put fish up there on those logs. And as that water starts dropping, you can do basically the same thing we just described with the grass.
Now, of course, question, as always, you said, you should have seen Mike's face when you said no crankbait. But no crankbait and spinnerbait, you're throwing soft plastics. We know there's a certain color pattern you like, but what do you throw? I mean, what do you have rigged up when you're picking that apart?
Yeah, you know, I always, you know, I love darker colors, and that's primarily because we, you know, our water's typically stained, and right now, you know, the Mobile had a little bump back on it, but, you know, it's not real high. It's around 5 feet right now, a little bit lower than that, but, you know, I stick with, you know, June bug is a great color. You know, it works in muddy water, stained water, clear water, you know,
right.
tannic water. I mean, it's just a great color. You know, so if you only going to carry one color with you, that's probably what I would tell somebody to carry. But I love, you know, June bug. And also, you know, a bluish, you know, color is really good, but, watermelon. I love watermelon chartreuse.
No, Captain Wayne Miller, watermelon, you know, chartreuse. You're kidding me.
Occasionally, I will pick up a watermelon chartreuse lizard.
Y'all have not listened over the years or fished with Wayne. The reason we're laughing is it is absolutely, he's caught a million bass on that color combination in the Delta, and that is a go to.
You know, it really does amaze me because, you know, you'll see baits that become popular and, you know, all of a sudden everybody's throwing them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, you know, you hear people talk about, well, you know, the bass got acclimated to that and, you know, they just don't hit it anymore. I don't know what it is about a watermelon chartreuse tail lizard, but let me tell you, buddy, they're not acclimated to it.
They keep thinking it's real.
They eat it on this Delta 12 months a year.
Yeah,
I mean,
think about that.
Even in the heat of the summer, it's amusing to me because I let people get in the boat with me, and you know, they'll look down, they'll see, you know, I got a lizard, and they're like, man, isn't that a spring bait? I'm like, no, actually, it's a year-round bait here.
Yeah,
you know, they just and I don't know what it is about it, but you know, I love to throw it, and I have so many friends that fish it, you know, and I mean, they just, it's just a fish catcher here, but you know, that's another color that I throw quite a bit, but I really do stay with, you know, darker colors. And it's not that, you know, some of the lighter hues don't work at times, because they will. But you know, another color combination to really consider is, and I think it works really good here is, like a black red. I throw that quite a bit too.
Like so. Black and red, like speckled, or like a black with a red tail?
Yeah.
Or?
Like speckled.
Okay.
Yeah.
That looks like black, a salamander. I mean, but I don't know if the bass think about that. They just go, they like it.
Yeah.
You know, black and blue, black and red. I mean, you know, those are kind of old school colors, but man, I'm telling you, they work.
There's a reason they're old school, is because they work.
Right.
I mean, not like a Sally.
Yes.
They always work.
For sure.
That's right. You know, I mean, if you stopped, you know, 100 bass fishermen on this delta, you know, there's some baits that 99 out of 100 are going, all of them are going to have in their boat. There's a reason for that.
Right.
You know, they're not just looking for something to carry around to add weight. you know, these are baits and colors that actually work. So, you know, that's something to really keep in mind. And I'm not saying, you know, other people don't have colors that work really well that are outside what I typically throw, because I experience that. But I have to, you know, I have such tremendous confidence in those colors, and especially that watermelon chartreuse. I mean, you know, we've talked about that for 20 years.
That's right. And it's what you have confidence in. You said it right. You have confidence in that bait because you've caught so many fish on it, you know, and year after year.
You have confidence in. I think you fish it more meticulously. You stick with it.
That's right.
But the color works, but if I'm trying something new, I'm like, pretty soon I'm like, I'm not as into it as I am something that's a proven winner. I don't take the time.
Right. Color wise, you know, I mean, I try to keep things pretty simple, and you know, a lot of times, you know, people can get caught up in that, man, hey, you know, it's this color out, you know, it's this new color, and man, it's gonna kill them, and you know, but I don't know, that doesn't seem to play out very well on the delta very often.
There are sometimes that it don't matter what color you throw at them, they're gonna hit it.
Yeah,
there are those
times.
Those
are the fun days, but
that's right.
Yeah. Hey, Captain Wayne, tell folks how to get a trip booked with you, because, I mean, I know you got people fired up right now. So if they want to go with you, how do they do that?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
And when you fish with them, you get to look at all the colors we're talking about and just, you know, go. Then you go buy them yourself.
You mainly get to catch fish.
Yeah, that's for sure. Captain Wayne, thank you, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
See you, Wayne.
Captain Wayne Miller coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. And good conversation on bass fishing with Captain Wayne. And as we talked about during the news break afterwards, he's still catching flounder. He's still catching redfish up there.
That's right. Yeah.
What a shame. Interrupting your bass day having to catch some redfish.
Isn't that great that they've come back and you can catch redfish up in the Delta now on a regular basis?
It is really, you know, I think I've talked about this over the show as a kid that kind of grew up fishing the Delta. By the time, you know, Mike was fishing, but he was fishing more specifically. We were just kind of rats in a 14-foot boat, but we learned places we could catch redfish, but it was places. It was like, go to the buggy whips over here, go to the edge of this area, and you catch one or two, three, and that'd be it. You have to go to where it has been for the last 20 years. You're just fishing and catching them.
Yeah. Red fishing has made a tremendous. Well, I don't remember it ever being good in my lifetime.
It was.
Through all the years. I mean, I fished the Delta. I mean, I was fishing it in the 70s and
80s. You catching redfish
a lot.
Right?
No. It'd be a rare occasion somebody catch a redfish.
Yeah.
Or a flounder. We wouldn't catch either one very much. It'd be rare.
And flounder might have been maybe the way you were fishing. I don't know. Or
maybe.
But we
possible.
Didn't, do a lot of flounder fishing. We'd catch some on the causeway growing up, just be like, oh, surprise, we caught a flounder.
Yeah.
But the redfish thing was, they were there, and this is, so for me, this is starting the 80s, late 80s and on through. They were there, but they weren't every, like, you wouldn't go down a bank even then in the 80s, like, fishing for bass, or you wouldn't be, okay, you wouldn't be out in a Del van or a Chocolata drifting, catching bass and catching redfish too.
Yeah.
Back then it was, hey, you got to go. We had like three or four spots. You could go and catch a couple redfish. But now they're just everywhere that the bass are, you know, which is it's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
And the flounder thing is a good thing as well. All right. I do want to remind y'all, mentioned it, I think, on last week's show or the week before last. So the registration period for gator season is open. I know y'all know it, but don't listen to your local news. When they, the other day, one of them said, it was earlier this month, they said, gator season's open as of Tuesday, June 2nd. No, the registration period is open. Yeah. So you go to OutdoorAlabama.com. You can click through, just put in the little search bar, if you put alligator hunt or alligator season, but it's OutdoorAlabama.com, seasons and bag limits, alligator season. But if you just, they got a search engine on OutdoorAlabama.com, put in alligator, and you got to, you know, you got to put in the, it's free to enter, right? But you got to build points too. We've talked about this over time.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's an example. So last year I did get my Southwest zone tag. And so I'm back to 0 points. I put in for it this year, which I won't get drawn.
Yeah,
you'll get, but it gives me 1 point. I'm building again. Now, Coastal, I have a bunch of points in. So, you know, but there's, you know, the zones here, got Southwest. Down in our neck of the woods, it's Southwest and Coastal. Okay, so Southwest is I-10 to Highway 84. Okay, so I-10 being the southern boundary of the Southwest zone up to Highway 84. Below I-10 is the Coastal zone.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I guided a couple times on the Coastal zone. There's some big gators, not as many. You know, that was always a frustration. I had these guys in. He was really one of a really big gator. And we were in Dog River one night, had him on one that was 9. And I was like, you probably need to get that one. He's like, I think we could do better. And you can in Coastal. There's some big ones. You know, I mean, Southwest, we know there's big ones, but there's big ones in the Coastal zone. And but there's, it just, from my experience guiding people in it, there's just not as many opportunities.
Sure.
You get in the Delta and the river system up there, it's just, if that gator stays down too long or you lose them, you can go find another one pretty soon. In the Coastal zone, for me, my experience has been, there's a big gator there, but there's not one after another after another. So
you're, I mean, talking about Dog River, Fowl River.
Yeah, so we've hunted, hunted them, Dog River, the whole way up, like, gone way back tributaries. I mean, back where there's like roads coming, I don't want to tell all our spots, but where there's roads coming over the tributaries kind of stuff, that far back, and hunted that. So yeah, Dog River, Fowl River, you could Fish River, Bon Score. There's some, you know, I was told back
New Dolphin Island now.
Yeah.
There's gators there.
Yeah, well, I see. I mean, I've got, that started, heck, I got a picture on my phone somewhere, or maybe it's on the old phone. I need to get that printed, where I've got the lighthouse in the background. We're sitting there in the old Kenner. And the gator right there with the lighthouse in the background. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But just letting y'all know, gator season registration is open. It goes through the 14th of July. That's the cutoff. And then they'll draw for that.
They draw in August, don't they?
They draw in July. You hunt August. And so the difference is here, we were added another weekend, I guess, as of 2 years ago when I hunted it, right? Or no, just last? It was last year. So instead, it used to be just in August, but now it goes through the beginning of September for these zones. You need to read through it, because there's Southeast zone. There's all these other areas. There's West Central, Lake Eufaula, Southeast. So they're not all the same. I'm talking about right now the Coastal and the Southwest, which is where we are down here. So you get drawn. If you get drawn, that's cool. You'll take a little course to make sure you know what you're doing out there. And then you'll start hunting. Yeah, I think the... Yeah, so you'll get... Okay, acceptance. You're going to find out by the 15th of July, if you were drawn. You got to accept by the 23rd on that. And then you'll get the, you could do the little course thing and you'll be able to hunt from then. But yeah, you'll have two weekends in August, I think, and then right there, like a weekend in September.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll pick this back up next week. We'll do it again for another FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.